All right. Well, it's a little 10 after, so maybe next time it'll work better. I'll say good evening and welcome. This is my first attempt at this, to use this tool for communicating. And so we'll try this during this period of social separation. I am surprised that we now have 29 members signed up. And hopefully everybody is getting to see this. But anyways, before we get started, I would like to have a short prayer, if we could. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to live in a country, to have all the blessings that you've given us, all this technology. And we pray that we use it wisely. We're thankful for your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins. We pray that we've honored him today with our life. And as we begin this video, may it bring glory to you and that those who are watching would be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things I think is important is that we keep in communication with one another, especially when we're not able to assemble at our usual times. Now, and I wanted to keep this live at 7 p.m. since many of us are accustomed to meeting at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. And although you can view this at any time after it's presented, it will still be on this site. Now, you know, the habit of attending the assembly on Wednesday evening is a good habit. Not all habits are good. Some are bad, and they're the ones that usually get the most attention. But this is a good habit. Now, I've read that there's a sign on a road in Alaska that says, choose your rut carefully, because you're going to be in it for the next 150 miles. So I pray that you don't see the assembling of the body as being in a rut. But if you do, be assured, it's the right rut to be in. The author of a book called In the Name of Jesus is named Henry Nouwen. And he admits that he was in one of these ruts for 20 years. And I won't go into describing how he come to that conclusion. He was a man of faith. And he writes this. He says, After I entered into my 50s, he's talking about his age, he said, I realized the unlikelihood of doubling my years as I came face to face with a simple question. And that simple question is, did becoming older bring me closer to Jesus? Now, I think that's a question we might ask ourselves. As we have grown older, have we matured, and have we had a closer personal relationship with Jesus. Now, but since some of us have been Christians for 20 years and much longer, so that's a good question for us to contemplate. Of course, the correct answer would be yes. And if not, perhaps we need one of those checkups from the neck up. And maybe we've been traveling in the wrong rut. So, but perhaps it's to reconsider our prayer life. You know, in Daniel chapter, Daniel prayed three times a day. Am I studying? Am I reading my Bible daily? You know, the Galatians searched the scriptures to see if they could find the truth of God's truth. Another thing we might be reminded of, and especially as we've grown older, are you horrified at the thought of sinning against God? Do I daily exhibit the fruit of the Spirit? Do I contemplate standing before God on the judgment day? Do I need revived? I read an article today by a person named Wes McAdams. Some of you may know him. He has written several different articles and such, but he pointed out that some of the scriptures in reference to the pandemic that is occurring. And I would like to go over a couple of those for your consideration, since we're having this problem of the coronavirus. Because these times aren't normal for us as a society in our country or in the church. We're hearing new terms all of a sudden that we have to deal with, such as social distancing, sheltering in place, flattening the curve, and yes, online worship or online study. It causes us to do things that we're not used to doing. We come face to face with our government, and at this point, our government is restricting our freedom. And we could talk a lot about that, but I won't go into that. I'm sure you know some of those scriptures and some of those arguments. But it makes for difficult decisions for us. This is new territory, such as, do we obey God or do we obey man? So we have these pros and cons to consider. So in addition to staying home and washing our hands, I'd like to point out a few scriptures that Wes McAdams listed, such as James chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. And that verse reads, "Come now, you who say, tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and we'll spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." And then the question in this verse is, what is life? And the answer that is given is, "For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you are to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." So we make our plans, but we don't know that we will get to carry them out because we don't know what the future holds for us. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. We don't know what the rest of this evening holds for us. So, and you probably know a person that has everything in their life all planned down to the very last T. But, and when this happens, it usually, something happens to disturb that. It usually creates chaos in that person's life, thus in that person's family, and then sometimes with their other relationships. So, in all our planning, we don't want to forget what's important in life. It's easy for us to get involved in our planning and our future and our careers and our all this stuff, and to forget the main goal that we have in life. And one part of that goal, and the most important part of that goal, is to fear God, keep His commandments, love His Son for His sacrifice, giving His life for us, the great sacrifice, following His example, so we may attain heaven and we may live eternally. We need to pursue God's kingdom daily. If we go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, it tells us that Jesus died to show us the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Jesus the Christ. Actually, I added the D. Going on to Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, the Apostle Paul wrote this, that the kingdom is our hope, our joy, our present, and our future. Now, it wasn't written like that, but that's one of the things that I got out of it. The second point is that this pandemic is likely to be over in a few days, or a few weeks, or a few months. It'd be great if it was over in the next few days or the next few weeks. But there's two words that we need to remember in regard to this. That is patience and endurance. And for endurance, we might substitute the synonym perseverance. Hebrews 10, chapter 36, excuse me, verse 36. Hebrews 10, verse 36 reads, "We need to persevere so that when we have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised." Going on to James chapter 1 and verse 23, it reads, "Consider it pure joy, so that when you have done the will of God, that you will receive what He has promised." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11 reads, "Being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." Now, these are a few of the verses that I think help us through these times and other tough times. And we need to remember that we are engaged in a marathon, not a sprint. We're not running the 100-yard dash. We're doing cross-country. And so we see that patience is one of the fruit, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it's a good thing that we think on these verses. We need to take the advice given in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, which reads, "Pray without ceasing, and pray that the Spirit will fill us and produce His fruit in us." And we read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And I believe we're all familiar enough with that, those two verses, that I won't go over and read those. But as we navigate this new situation, we must pray for our leaders. We must pray for our families. We must pray for our neighbors. We need to be giving encouragement and not pessimism. The third thing I think that we need to keep in mind is that the gathering of our church family on Sunday and Wednesday are of great importance to our church family, and we're going to miss this. It encourages us to live Christ's gospel message. It's not to be construed as being unfaithful if we are not able to attend and participate for a limited time. But this is something that can't go on very long. Brother Bill and I have agreed that we will observe the 4 weeks, which I believe puts us into April 12th, maybe a little further than that. One casualty of it has already been Brother Jay Graham. He was to be in Brookfield for 9 days and then stop here on Sunday the 12th and on his way back to Flagstaff, Arizona. And originally Brookfield said if he could get one more church to participate, to have a service, that they would go ahead and allow him to come. But the next day or two, they changed their mind and they called and told him it would probably be best if he didn't come. So I have rescheduled him for April of 1922. That's as soon as he can get back here. But maybe I can get him on one of these and he can give that lesson he was going to give to us on April the 12th. But we're not... It's not considered unfaithful that we can't come together for a limited time. Brother Bill has sent a email to the Honorable Frank White Jr. with expressing our views on the situation, and he has requested a reply, but we're not real optimistic that we'll get one. Again, I would recommend Brother Wade Stanley's lesson of last week, God Understands. It's on the VBR Bible Study Classroom on Facebook. Also, if you don't have Facebook and you have access to the internet, you can pull up the Martinstown Church of Christ, and it's probably on their audio, at least, maybe on their video. In conclusion, I'm going to recommend that we read and study Colossians chapter 3 and those verses 12 through 17. And let me read. I'm going to go ahead and read that as soon as I can pull it up here. Let's see. Right, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We are still one body. Whether or not we can meet on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening or not, we are still one body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Consider that phrase. Let the word of Christ dwell. Let it live in you, is what he's saying there. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so I think that's something that we need to keep in mind as we go through this pandemic, however you pronounce that. Being from the boot heel, that's hard for me to do. But anyway, God is concerned with our attendance, no doubt about it. He's also concerned with our transformation. And we need, no matter what our age, how long we've been a member of the church, we need to be continually transforming ourselves into the likeness of Christ. We must strive to become Christ-like, and we have to do our part the other 6 days of the week. We may assemble on Sunday and Wednesday night as the body, but there's 6 other days that we need to do our part. We need to remember, as it reads in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 12, that it reads there that the Lord is indeed the Lord of the Sabbath. But what we need to remember is that He still is Lord each and every day of the week. And I think sometime we might forget that. I jotted down some verses that highlight our need to trust God. Whenever we're in a difficult situation, we're in a period of change now, and I know there's a lot of people have a lot of trouble with change, and that's where we need to communicate. We need to talk to each other on the phone. We need to communicate with social media, however we can do that. We need to especially remember our aged and confined, sick and ill brethren, and make sure that we are keeping in contact with them. Cards are fine. I know some of them text, so that's also a good way to keep in touch with people. But some of the verses that talk about our trust in God, I'll just read them off. I meant to put them on the board and I forgot it, but Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 24 and 10. Psalms 56 and 3, 37 and 3, and the 18th Psalm, verse 8. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. And Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 27. Now, hopefully, I didn't put any of those down backwards, but being dyslexic, that's always a possibility. And so I'm going to basically leave you with this. I know this has been a little short. Hopefully, it's not going to replace Wednesday evening, but I just feel like We are, those of us that attend on Wednesday evening, it leaves a hole, at least in my part. And so that's why I tried to do this at 7 o'clock. And so remember, we love one another. We love our neighbor. We seek to do good. We study to transform ourselves to be Christ-like. And really, that's a full-time job. So, may God bless and keep us. And I'll close with this. Read your Bible. Amen. Thank you for listening.